The Hard Shoulder on Newstalk.
With Nissan's big electric switch. Scrappage is now available on your old car when you switch to a 100% electric Nissan Leaf.
Now, today is International Women's Day, and I'm delighted to be joined by the broadcaster and journalist formerly of this parish, Aideen Finnegan, and Marissa Carter, the CEO of Coco Brown, and she is ambassador as well for Plan Ireland. You're both very welcome to the show. Ladies, great to talk to you. Aideen, International Women's Day, I mean, is this a big day to you? Is it important to you? Is it tokenism to you?
I suppose it can be tokenism, but, you know, any opportunity to get on my soapbox, and I welcome to talk about, you know, there are things that I think people have forgotten. I think people have completely forgotten about pregnant women in the pandemic. And I just think it's so indicative of the way the country treats women that they kind of just expect them to put up with this, you know, being on their own for it's such a vulnerable time in their lives.
Okay,
you know?
Explain that in more detail. What do you mean that we've forgotten about pregnant women?
So, well, I just feel like the airwaves are full of, you know, when will restaurants get back? When will the GAA get to have spectators at matches again? It just seems to be so, like, people are just thinking about all these groups and nobody's thinking or nobody's fighting for the women who are laboring on their own, miscarrying on their own, having C-sections basically on their own. And they're just, you know, it's just typical because this is the most vulnerable time of your life. You're doing something extremely important. You are potentially, you're getting life-changing news. And it's just another example of how women are just expected to make do.
Okay, because I was going to say, you know, I suppose some of those groups, like, you know, there's lobby groups for the hospitality industry. The GEA themselves are such a powerful lobby group that maybe their voices get heard. Is it just that there's no kind of representative group for, you know, women of a childbearing age, or is it just, is this indicative of kind of the patriarchy?
I think that it's one of those things where if people were shouting about it, it gets picked up by somebody and then that gets picked up by something else. Like that's how the media in general operates, is if one person is shouting and it kind of gathers a bit of momentum. It's the same on Twitter where it gets, you know, tons of retweets and all of a sudden it's trending and everybody's talking about it. Like people could, like, I just feel like women are over in the corner going, hey, we're here and this is a thing, and everyone's like, yeah, sure, look, people have babies, don't they? And it's just I can't understand how there hasn't been a bigger fuss made of what's happening to women over the last year.
Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder if there's any women out there listening who've had a baby in the last year and maybe they're in complete agreement with Aideen. 53106 is the number. I mentioned Marissa Carter, who's with me as well. Marissa, how do you think the pandemic then has affected women, maybe from your point of view, particularly women in business?
I think that the pandemic has without a doubt affected women disproportionately, and I think that the workload and the burden of homeschooling and lack of childcare, I think that has fallen on women's shoulders just much more than men.
Okay, well, why do you think that is?
Well, I think that we have not been represented in the government. I don't think that women's voices are being represented because there are absolutely no women on the cabinet subcommittee for COVID, not one. So our cabinet subcommittee consists of our Taoiseach Micheál Martin, Leo Varadkar, Stephen Donnelly, Pascal Donoghue, Michael McGrath, Simon Coveney and Eamon Ryan. And I am absolutely sure that all of those men have the best interests of the entire country, men and women, at heart. But if women's voices are to be heard, and we need representation, and if we don't have representation, then how are we supposed to feel like we matter if we don't have any representation at all at the top, where the key decisions are being made regarding COVID supports? We have no representation.
That's interesting. Aideen, do you feel that's a factor as well in the lack of attention pregnant women have gotten in the last year? I know there's obviously one very high profile pregnant woman at the cabinet table as we speak, but yeah, I don't think you'd be right in saying women were well represented around it.
No, they're not. But I mean, as well, like I think that automatically the fact that it's just a completely male panel, it can't not. I mean, there are biases in every. We all suffer from them, you know what I mean? And how could it not be a factor here when it is all men? But Kieran, is it not really indicative of what the situation is for women in general, you know, in terms of pursuing careers, that they are all men? Like, does that not speak volumes? That the men in these positions, that they're not women. And that's one of the big things I have as well. Like, I didn't feel it in my 20s. I didn't feel like this big chasm between men and women in the workforce. And I feel it so much in my 30s, especially after having a baby of my own, that, you know, it's women are punished for having children. Their careers suffer. And it's not the case for men. Like, and it's not even that there's a gender, I mean, the gender pay gap is a big problem as well, because men and women may not be paid for doing the exact same job or the exact same level or the length of time they've spent in it. But it's that women are not facilitated to advance to that position where they could be paid the same as men. You know, they and men are not asked to, you know, women often have to, you'll hear people say, look, if you choose to do it and you push really hard, you will be able to have it all. You will be able to be the career woman and you know, the mom. But men aren't asked to make that choice. And it is just an automatic. Now, I know people are going to say, but your men don't take the time off. First of all, men are choosing not to take the time off that they are entitled to because there's a culture in that organization where they don't do it, where they feel like it would damage their career, where it would feel like they, you know, it would be misconstrued that they're not serious about their job. Like, these are all things that women have to deal with all the time. And men suffer from this as well. This is the thing. It's often it seemed like a women versus men issue, but it's not, because there are men who would like to spend time with their children. There are men who would like to go flexi time, and they suffer from this system. Now, the thing is, the workforce, the working world, it was designed by men because they were doing it. You know what I mean? The women came along later. So we slotted in it to this system, but it's time to redesign it. It's time to have a total, you know, look at how we do things, because men want equality in childcare as well. I know a lot of them who do. So why can't we facilitate
Oh,
that?
Marissa, that's an interesting point. This idea that women in certain spheres are kind of in a man's world, as Aideen described it, you know, a world designed by men, because it was a world of men, and then women came along, but it is still a man's world. Would that be true in business? Like, do you find that it is, you know, there are echoes of a system designed exclusively for men that you find yourself operating in?
If men earn more, if you're living in a house with 2 people rearing children, and your partner earns more than you, so the gender pay gap is responsible for that, and your partner earns more than you, and so one of you has to stay home to mind the children because childcare is so is just not affordable in Ireland, and there aren't enough subsidies, and there's just not enough childcare support. One of you has to stay home. The chances are that the woman will stay home because she earns less, and that makes economic sense. So until the gender pay gap is closed, we're going to be stuck in this vicious cycle where women have to either work part-time and work around school and childcare, or just stay at home. And stay-at-home mothers then face just incredible challenges in terms of then trying to get back into work once the children are reared.
How do you break that cycle then?
How do you break that cycle? Well, we need to reduce the gender pay gap. We need to make sure that women don't have to choose between working part-time and staying at home full-time just because she can't. Childcare is so expensive in Ireland that she can't afford to work part-time and pay for childcare. So it's just not even worth it half the time to work part-time, because you'd be working literally to just pay your childcare costs. Like, that's just not feasible. So it's impossible. It's nearly impossible for women to have children and progress it get to the top in her career.
Aideen, is there a need then for a kind of a clearer career development plan for people, but that also takes into account that that men or women might at a certain point, you know, most likely between the age of kind of, you know, kind of 25 and their late 30s, be gone for certain periods of time. So we seem to have lost Aideen there. She's no longer on the line. Marissa, what about that idea of you know, defined career paths that have an allowance for these kind of, you know, let's say missing periods, whether that is a man or a woman taking leave?
Yeah, well, I mean, there are certain, you know, there is a small amount of help out there for women who want to start their own business that I, as a woman in business and as a self-employed woman, I can testify to. And maybe I might mention those for anyone listening.
Yeah.
If you are a woman with a startup business or even an idea and living in rural Ireland, then there is a program called Acorns, and the applications are open for that program now. And it is a mentorship program that I can attest to, because I was part of the Going for Growth community as both a participant and then as a lead mentor myself. And it is just fantastic. So again, Acorns is the name of that program. And if you have an idea and you're in rural Ireland, or you have a startup business and you're a woman, look that up. It'll be well worth it. And as I said, applications are open for that program now. And then the other program that I'd like to mention is the Enterprise Ireland. What is the exact name now? Let me get it. It's called the Competitive Start Fund. And it is a fund of 50,000 euro that you can apply for to bring your product to life. Now, obviously, you know, Kieran, I'm in the business of manufacturing and creating products. So these are just two things that I'm aware of because of my background. But it is, you know, it is worth looking into and trying to get as much support as possible if you do want to start a business. And I do think that, you know, not looking for help and trying to do it all yourself is something that women are probably more guilty of than men. And so, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. And I suppose while we're on the subject of asking for help, I do think that women have definitely taken on more of the workload at home. So like working from home during the pandemic has been more difficult for women, I believe, because I think that we have taken on more of the challenges of homeschooling, all the housework on top of that, and doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, all of those things I think are things that women take on and without asking for help. So I would say on International Women's Day, my advice is, you know, start asking for help and start looking for your partner at home to share that workload with you.
Aideen, when you
he earns more than you or not.
Aideen, when you were on maternity leave, did you feel guilty about not being in work?
No, I didn't. I didn't feel guilty about not being in work, but I did wonder how was it going to affect my progression. And you know, in the end, as you mentioned there, formally of the parish, I took a year out. I find this language around it as well very thorny, you know, because it sounds like I'm on my bum not doing anything, but you know, I'm caring for my child, and caring is not seen as work. And you know, in the main, it's the women who do the caring, whether it's for children or elderly or sick relatives. And I think we just have to put a value on that.
Okay.
And you know, you mentioned there about, you know, should there be a career plan? Like, I really just, I know it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but I think we have to compel men to take the time off, because I think if it's left to, you know, if you leave to a couple to split it, I think it will still be the woman who takes it. And it's really only when men have to take it that we'll actually make some headway.
Well, listen, Aideen and Marissa, we appreciate your time here on The Hard Shoulder. Aideen Finnegan, a broadcaster and journalist, and Marissa Carter, the CEO of Coco Brown and an ambassador for Plan Ireland.